Welcome everyone to This Week in Testing. This is episode 66. It's good to get us together, find out how your week has been, what you've been up to, what's been happening, what have you observed, what have you been thinking about, and perhaps writing about or recording about. Are there some things that you've been up to with your team this week that you'd like to discuss? Today's episode is a good one to do that. And also, I'd like us to think about the concept of continuous quality. So we have an episode of The Testing Planet coming soon, and I want to get some hot takes on your experience of continuous quality, what it means, what it involves, how you've got it into how you work as a team, or perhaps maybe there's a struggle to get that mindset and approach into how you do things at your workplace. So I'm going to ask some questions a little bit later on in this episode, hopefully prompt some good conversation about the topic of continuous quality. And we can then bring that into this session today and see where we go. So this is a Ministry of Testing event. So just as a reminder, there is a code of conduct for anyone who joins us on stage today. Please be mindful of that code of conduct. You're going to head to ministryoftesting.com, have a look at the footer, and you'll find a link to our code of conduct. This is recorded, so welcome to those who are listening back to this. If there's maybe, as a live listener, you miss out on something, do come back to it. We do publish. We have a good transcript tool that pulls out the transcript, and we also do a shout out to folks who join us up on stage. So it's a nice way to celebrate the community by listening back to that and resharing. So there are a number of episodes that we have, a bit of an archive going on now, lots of good chat with some brilliant folks in the community. So do go check that out. You can find the podcast on ministryoftesting.com/podcasts. Look out for This Week in Testing. Links to a lot of stuff that's discussed often ends up in MOT Weekly. This is our weekly newsletter that you can subscribe to by signing up for a free account with ministryoftesting.com. We'll send you that newsletter every Monday. You can also get access to that via our LinkedIn page and on our website as well, ministryoftesting.com/newsletter, or newsletters, I should say. Great. Okay, so let us have a little reflection on what has been happening this week in testing. As always, lots of stuff going on. Maybe let's start off with some career growth stuff. It's always nice to do that. So I see that Ollie Fairhall, who's in our audience today. Hello there, Ollie. The company that Ollie works at, Benefex, they are hiring a senior mobile QA. So if you want to get in touch with Ollie about the opportunity, you can do so via the Ministry of Testing Slack. So we have a dedicated Slack for a good number of our members to connect, share job opportunities with each other. We also have a jobs board that's open to everyone. So if you are looking for your next opportunity, head over to ministryoftesting.com/jobs. It's open for people to submit their jobs and get that up on the site. We will promote those jobs out into our network. So please do go check it out. We have, I saw that Robert String, they have 12 years of experience in testing and they are open to work. So again, please do look up these folks on LinkedIn and have a look at the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn feed. That is a good place where we repost. If someone shares that they are open to work, we will repost it and get it out to our network. So our network is your network. We will help folks connect and find their next opportunity. Right. So some other things we've got going on here at the moment. What else do we have? Oh, yeah. Just a few more people who are looking for opportunities. So Adesanya, Omorinsola, they're looking for remote QA freelance work. So again, do go check them out on LinkedIn. Just seeing through my notes if there's anyone else we spotted who is open to work. Just doing a quick scan. Nothing that's jumping out right now. It was cool to see that Yaroslav, based in Vancouver in Canada, that they'd received copies of the physical Testing Planet newspaper. So we released a physical newspaper this year. Great way to celebrate the community. It includes lots of articles from the Ministry of Testing community, lots of fun little things throughout the newspaper. And it was great to ship them out to Vancouver. And it was very cool of Yaroslav Yurkin to hand them out to the meetup that he organizes. And yeah, just very, very, very cool to see this physical copy of a newspaper making its way across the globe. It's very cool, right? You know, I know we spend a lot of our time online looking at digital stuff. It's always nice to go back to physical every so often, right? Particularly when it comes to celebrating the community. We don't just have to do that by meeting in person. We can do that with a physical newspaper that calls out a lot of the good stuff that's been happening in the community. So yeah, thanks Yaroslav for taking on those newspapers, the Testing Planet newspaper, and dishing them out to your community. We've started a fun little game here at Ministry of Testing. So if you like, I don't know, we've called it Where's Bug and Cosmo. So Bug is a little bug creature who's part of the Ministry of Testing community. And we've got Cosmo, which is a space duck, which is a nod to rubber ducking. So a technique that you can use if you're unfamiliar with it to ask your duck that sat on your desk some questions to help you work out how you might solve a problem. And we are now including Bug and Cosmo. Each week, we will post an image from the community and we are hiding little Bug and little Cosmo. So if you head over to ministryoftesting.com/memories, you will find number 2, so that we've released 2 so far of Where's Bug and Cosmo. It's a lot of fun. See if you can find them. Please don't spoil it for others if you do find them. Just share that you have found them. you can do that wherever you like. You could share that on LinkedIn. You could share that on the Slack or wherever you're hanging out in the community right now. So do go check that out. It's a little bit of fun. You know, it's also a great opportunity to remind folks of all the many different ways that we can gather in person and celebrate some of those memories. If you have a photo memory, I really encourage you to add it to the memories page. You know, that's a way for us to create an archive of all the many things that are happening across the community. And this could be something from, you know, maybe you've experienced a Test Bash conference, or you've attended a meetup, or you've just got to hang out with some people at work and you've had a good old chat about testing and quality. Maybe you've got some photos of that. Well, we'd love to see it on ministryoftesting.com. I think the community would value seeing those photos. So yeah, do consider it. It's open to everyone. You can just jump on that page and upload a photo. Add a bit of a commentary, perhaps tell a story as to what was happening in that photo. Of course, include some image alt text and put it out there and inspire someone through your storytelling. Very cool indeed. We're very happy to get the memories feature out and to continue to encourage folks to add to memories. Great. Well, thinking about conversations, maybe it's about time we get some folks up on stage. So yeah, I'm going to ask some specific questions around continuous quality. And let's see where we go, because I feel like talking about conversations and staying connected and having conversations about testing and quality perhaps might be part of a continuous quality approach. You know, if we think of it as quality at every stage of the, software development process, the way you release software, always having quality in mind, taking action. I'd love to find out your take on that. So I wonder, maybe a good one is, how would you get started with continuous quality? I'd love to know if any of you in the audience have got started with continuous quality, what it meant for you, what your process looked like, How did you implement this approach or mindset or way of working? How did you interpret it? How did you come across the concept of continuous quality? What does it mean to you? And how did you get started with it? I'd be curious to hear if there's anyone in the audience who'd be up for jumping up on stage and sharing some of their thoughts. I'll put myself on mute and yeah, do have a think if you'd like to pop up on stage and share some ideas with the audience today. Going to test my audio again. It seems to have dropped. Ah, it looks like my audio is back. So Ollie, unsure what you heard of me sharing there, but it seems that you're muted, or at least from my side. Ah, yes.
Hello. Yes, sorry, yeah, I can hear you. I was unsure what was going on.
It looks like my mic connection dropped. So I've now switched my microphone input, so my audio might sound a bit different. Hopefully, this will work okay.
Surprisingly common issue.
Yeah. So how's your week in testing been, Ollie?
Yeah, it's been all right. It's been a bit of a quiet one. We're going to deploy quite a chunky bit of work yesterday, but last week found quite a fundamental flaw in the business logic of it. It's about 3 months worth of work. Found a big flaw about 5 minutes, half an hour before the dev working on it was about to go on holiday for a few days. We've been waiting for him to get back and then fix the problem. So it's been a bit of an odd one, kind of just picking up any little bits, but I did have a good kind of on the theme of the topic of quality, or like teams working towards quality. I had a good good conversation between myself and the other QA in my team and a couple of front end devs around testing specifically. So we were looking at how they're writing their unit tests and what they're covering, and if that means that do we want to write any Cypress any UI automation around it, and it's kind of sparked us making sure to have that conversation regularly, basically for each ticket we get, so we can actually discuss testing with the whole team rather than just among QAs.
I love it, Ollie. That's very cool. Feels very continuous quality. And I guess often I think it feels like when people share that, like having to have a conversation about everything with more people than just, you know, a testing team or QA team, I think it can often feel quite overwhelming. Like, wow, how are we going to fit that in when we've got to ship stuff and we've got to crack on? I wonder how have you found it where you're sort of trying to plan for that and make it kind of feel very natural and not like
extra effort on top of what you have to do anyways.
Yeah, this is, well, we're right at the start of this, so it's something we're talking about, because that's something I'm very aware of. I don't want to add work on, so we're going to build it into our Three Amigos, and we're saying about having kind of like checkpoints, tick boxes and agendas basically for our Three Amigos to make sure that we cover these kinds of things, because I think it's just something we appreciate that's going to be a bit of extra effort, but it's just something we want to do, and keep an eye on, make sure it's not getting too much basically. So it'll be a continuously evolving thing, I think. But yeah, I don't know yet.
Absolutely.
We'll find out.
Excited for you. It's kind of great that you're expanding the conversation to other important people as part of you developing software. It's very cool. Reminds me of like the Three Amigos. Was it Lisa Crispin, I think, created a conversation starters cheat sheet that she would use during a Three Amigos session. So that's worth Googling that one. Remember those? Yeah. It's like a PDF with some real good stuff, like have we considered this? What about this? What about that? Just when you said the words kind of checkpoints and agenda, it sparked that concept. I remember her creating that, which is very cool.
Nice. Yeah, I looked that up. I've just made a note of it.
Nice. Which reminds me, actually, I should do a shout out to Lisa Crispin and Janet Gregory's new book, Holistic Testing, Weave Quality into Your Product. So that is launched today. And I'm quoting Lisa here, what I am most happy about is that we provide an example test strategy along with an explanation of how we built it by applying the holistic testing model. So that's very cool. So folks can get that on LeanPub. Big fan of Lisa Crispin's work. I think she has done so much, so many positive things along with Janet Gregory for the testing community to help kind of bring together, I guess, all our thoughts, ideas, approaches, and ways of working, and kind of bringing it together and explaining it in a way that's really straightforward. It's very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Great to hear that, Ollie. And yeah, we'd love to have you report back.
Absolutely. And I think kind of what you were saying about the like starting it up, I think the idea of like continuous quality, I think we are at the beginning of that. And I spoke before about having a conversation about quality and haven't been able to go, or haven't been back to it. It's been a bit of a crazy few months, but it's very much on the cards to discuss what quality means to us as a team and aim for that, so that we're all on the same page and going in the same direction, and I guess also reevaluating that as you go on, reevaluating everything basically, ways of working and processes, to make sure we're doing the best we can. But starting up the conversations is a weird conversation to have, I think. It was for me at least.
Totally. It can feel quite abstract, but yeah, I feel the way you're building out your model at your workplace and the way you're describing it from today and from previous episodes when we discussed on stage is like having that list is the core, like what does quality mean to us as a team and our customers, like that is the core center of your model.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, we'll build out processes and ways of working and what that actually means for practical delivery, our pipeline, our CICD, what are our stages, all of that stuff comes off the back of your core of what does quality mean to us as a team. I think that's really powerful. And to keep coming back to that, and that can change and you discover something new, it's like, oh, this thing is actually no longer as important as we thought it was, 3 months ago, or something's changed in the market, which means we need to shift our approach. I think that's really cool the way you're approaching it. So yeah, exciting journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, challenging everything, basically.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's a good way to summarize our role as testing professionals, challenge everything, ourselves and the applications, and perhaps the people we work with.
yeah, mostly the one that happens. That's the toughest one, but yeah.
Brilliant. I appreciate you sharing, Ollie. I was thinking, Christine has put their hand up, so should we get Christine up on the stage? But please do stick around, Ollie. Please do continue jumping in on the conversation when and if you want to do so. And that'd be great.
Absolutely, will do.
Cool, thanks. So let us bring Christine Pinto up onto stage. Hello, Christine. How is your week in testing?
Hello, Simon, and hello, everyone. I hope my audio is okay. I had to switch some microphones like you today a lot. So just give me a thumbs up. Perfect.
Yeah, all good.
It was super on fire, I think. It was very crazy in Berlin. We had like 3 different meetups around QA and testing. I barely only managed to go to one because my week also in startup world is very busy. But it was so interesting because we had such a heated discussion in this, not heated in the way of angry, but more like bam, 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 ideas to each other. And it's like in-person meetups with testers is just always so awesome. And I was so like, my energy was lifted up so much in all the conversations. And we had a conversation as well about how to continue do quality and testing. And I think that it's so important to always think about that testing is a team responsibility. And you always say that, and it always sounds like such a wisdom. And it's very difficult to implement. We had a lot of people there as well saying, yeah, how do you do this? How do you start? I definitely will have a look at that cheat sheet of Lisa because her stuff she's creating is awesome. So I have a look at this, but it's always difficult to get this whole team approach done. Which was interesting, or what I want to share is that we also did in this week a lot of product owner, VPs, interviews for our startup. And we got quite often, and I was very excited how often we got that feedback, that the POs on SciHatch level saying, yeah, testing should be a team responsibility. And I was like, oh, you get it. Finally, somebody who understands testing saves money, testing is important, and it cannot just be done by one person. It has to be a mindset. So I like this idea of, what is it called? I think a quality coach. See ourselves as a quality coach, bringing this mindset to the people. And it is difficult because I know some people also have bad experience, or sometimes you have language barrier. There are so many different things, but framing it as an as a quality coach, I think can help. Basically setting yourself up in a different way and saying, okay, we're doing a workshop. I'm the quality coach, and we're going to go through this. How can we achieve this all together? Because in the end, we are all behind that product, and we all want to ensure that the quality is awesome. So then we all work onto this. So that was definitely one of my high ups, this discussion and all these things around. And then another shout out I want to give is to Eddie Stokes for accessibility. He gave me some tips on my MVP builds. I'm very appreciative about that. And my third shout out goes to the Ministry of Testing and Athens Group. They put out the announcement and the beautiful graphics about the Athens meetup by the end of this month. I'm going to fly to Athens. So anybody who's maybe in Athens, give me a shout out because I stay a day longer to speak about the Playwright and AI. And oh, yeah. And the Ministry of Testing shared today our cosmic conversation with a whole from Test Batch. That's an awesome, like the Timnitz you're currently sharing is very cool. And I like the cuts to as well. So I would love to also your feedback. It's like, how are you doing this right now? And how can people commit something? It's very cool. That was my epic week, I would say.
It's an epic week, Christine. Thank you for sharing. I'm loving it. Yeah. Amy's just doing great stuff with accessibility and just supporting the community as a whole. I really want to amplify your words about Amy Stokes. You know, he's a brilliant writer. He's helping us look at the results of lots of the polls that we put out to the community and producing some wonderful trends articles, which are available for our professional members. So lots of questions going out to the community. We look at that data, we present the data back, lots of insight coming through via AD Stokes and his writing. He's also doing some wonderful things with our Software Testing Essentials certification as well, helping shape a lot of the content around the brilliant conversations that Sarah Deary, who's recording today, the conversations that she's sparking amongst the community for people who are new to testing, to get lots of advice from folks who have got some brilliant experiences and stories to share. So it's all, yeah, very cool indeed. And yeah, I also saw the announcement with MOT Athens. I was like, cool, the audience are going to have a brilliant time with you, Christine. So yeah, good on you for going for that. And yeah, I know the Athens crew will very much welcome you and everything that you have to share. So indeed, that is wonderful. My question actually, just before you joined, Christine, was going to be, again, related to continuous quality. And I think you might have answered it already, but perhaps Tom Game, who's got their hand up in the audience, or his hand up in the audience, might be able to jump in on this one. So I was going to say, how much do you agree with this statement? Testers are responsible for continuous quality. You can strongly agree, somewhat disagree, or strongly disagree. So maybe Tom, putting you on the spot here, let's get you up on stage and perhaps we can get your thoughts on that question. Tom, welcome. It's great to see you at This Week in Testing. Thank you for joining us. And Tom?
There we go. Hello.
Ah, yes. There
Bam.
Is the unmute.
I found the unmute button.
Wonderful. How's that? Yeah, good to hear from you. How's your week in testing been?
Oh, it's been pretty mad, to be honest, which is good. A nice mad. Yeah, it's been really good. I put a post on my LinkedIn profile recently. I got some really nice recognition from the company that I work at for work that I've been doing, which was brilliant. Totally surprised by it, but yeah, very nice. On top of that, we had a really cool meeting to talk about. Actually, it was to share Bill Matthews' presentation on responsible AI and testing. I shared it with some of my colleagues, which really sparked some interesting debate, both within the testing team members who joined, but also a member of the AI team joined as well. And yeah, it really sparked some interesting discussion and debate around how we manage quality of AI systems, which was really cool. In answer to your question around are testers responsible for continuous quality? I would strongly agree with that statement, but I think quality, to use probably a bit of a cliche, but quality is the responsibility of everybody within the development process. So it is not just on us as testers to manage that process. I really like Christine's reference to quality coaching. I think coaching is a real skill, it's a real art. And it gets people engaged and involved. And by getting that engagement and involvement and that energy is where you will see improvement in quality, because it is a collective force. I've mentioned before in the past, my background is actually in manufacturing, and in manufacturing they talk a lot about continuous improvement. And Kat Obring put a really interesting post out about perfectionism and continuous improvement, which I thought was great. Again, really thought-provoking. I'm a great believer in continuous improvement, and that is being able to look at the performance of a product or a team or a department and determine, and be candid about it and honest and say, right, there are areas that we can improve, because we can always improve. And if you can get that buy-in, and I think it's a cultural thing where you need to feel supported, where you can be open and honest. And as long as that exists and you have that open and honest and supportive environment, then you can really make change. And then quality is built in and it is a continuous process. That's kind of my position on it.
Loving it, Tom. Thank you for sharing. That's great insight. I wonder, have there been some things that have happened in your career that you've observed where perhaps yourself or some colleagues or people that you are familiar with have maybe made mistakes or got it wrong when it comes to the concept of continuous quality and this mindset that quality is important to everyone? Because I think there's, as you say, like if we're thinking about how that's related to continuous improvement, it makes me think about, being candid with our mistakes and being candid with like, oh yeah, we tried that thing, but we thought it would do this, but actually it did that and we completely messed up, and kind of owning it and learning from that. I'd be curious to know, and I appreciate I am putting you on the spot here, so feel free to say nope, we'll move on.
No, I'm always, I like to think of myself as someone who, if I make a mistake, I am very happy to own it. I say if, when, because we are human, we are fallible, we all make mistakes. And I think in the vast majority of cases, people who do make, when someone makes a mistake, it isn't an intentional thing. It isn't out of sabotage or anything like that. I would say 99.9% of the time people make mistakes for honest reasons. It's interesting now, as someone who is new to this profession but has a lot of alternative experience, and I have managed people, I've always said to people, make mistakes but own them and learn from them, and let's talk about them and find out how we can improve upon that, because I think that is the responsibility of people who are in more senior positions, or more experienced people are there to help and support more junior people to learn, and we learn from our mistakes. On the back of Kat's post, I quoted, I'm never quite sure whether Thomas Edison did actually say it, but he said, I didn't fail, I just found 1,000 ways not to make it, referring to the light bulb, which is absolutely true. But if he hadn't gone through those 1,000 attempts, he would never have got to the 1,001th that gave us, the light bulb. And history is littered with things like that. And some of the greatest mistakes have led to some of the greatest products as well. I think, a great example, one I always refer to, is the Post-it note. And I don't know if you guys know the history of the Post-it note, but it was, the glue was supposed to be permanent. But the formulation, there was a mistake made in the formulation process, which led to the glue ending up being this kind of repeatable sticky glueiness, which is hilarious. But if it wasn't for that mistake, we wouldn't have got the Post-it note. So making mistakes isn't a bad thing, as long as you take the opportunity to learn from it and provide a psychologically safe environment in which people can operate. Then people are more willing to make mistakes and push boundaries, and therefore you will get improvement and you will get better quality, because people are willing to ask those awkward questions and challenge and poke and prod. I think Ollie sort of said about, doing that kind of thing as well. So yeah, that I think making mistakes is a great thing, as long as we learn from them.
Don't agree. Sorry to cut in there, but yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that's stuck with my dad. I was thinking about this the other day, funny enough, something that stuck with my, from my childhood, my dad saying, I think it was in Japan, that they almost encouraged making mistakes because you could learn a lot more than getting it right. And being able to make mistakes, as long as they're not massive and there's nothing to learn from them, and even if you do make a massive mistake, as long as you learn from it, then that's a silver lining at least. But I think it's also really important having that psychological safety, like you say, Tom. That seemed to be like, not a buzzword, but it's coming up as a key topic in recent times. Not having blame culture, basically, so that you can fix a problem, learn from it, do better, and having that safety of, and confidence as well. It's not just the safety, but you've got to have the confidence as well to speak up. And that's something I'm trying to instill in a QA I'm working with at the moment, to understand what might be stopping them from speaking up, and voicing their opinions, because that's what you want.
I totally agree with you too. I think also, and I think you made the right point, you need the environment and the culture, especially if your own culture, like in the German culture, mistakes are not seen that highly. But then I went into company cultures, and I also was so exposed to the American culture, and then to the Mexican tradition which, and there is a format coming out of this. I cannot say, so it's the F up night, basically, because it came from some startup founders and idea founders were sitting around a fire and they were start talking about their failures. But through this, they recognize that through every failure you make, you learn something, and you need to make these mistakes, these failures, and you should never think about, oh my God, then it's the end of the world. No, you learned, like you said, 1,000 other ways of doing something. You made always connections on this way and you can use it for next time. And that's why it's so important that we take this into our companies, that failures or mistakes are not a problem. You can learn out of this and grow, because so always successes, you will not grow. It's just, it's not, you have to like review on that. That's why we also do retros to also review on this, grow about this. And I'm so agreeing that I heard about Japan as well, that it's just a better culture set up to like understanding that mistakes don't mean immediately a super bad thing. No, mistakes means it's an opportunity to learn and grow.
Absolutely. And I guess it's going to lead to innovation more, like Tom was saying, right? I can't remember where I read about innovation being like iterative ideation, basically. And if you're not learning, if you're not making mistakes, you're not going to learn enough to innovate.
Exactly. And then you also think about, you cannot try it out, but try it out is also, you're trying something out, you try it out, you make a mistake, you fail, and you try it again. It's agile and scrum iteration. We sometimes ship features, which we're not sure if this works, but we try it out, we get it out, we get customer feedback. It's also kind of like this. And if we wouldn't have figured it out, we wouldn't have been able where we are now, where we get way more innovations, like you said, out through all the time, and we have more startups out, we have more changes out, we have development of AI and all these things, and they might have been only come through these like environments set up for like, yes, we can support you and try it out. And I think that's so important, especially also for juniors in our profession, because we are testing systems and there will be mistakes made, there will be things made, because you cannot know everything. Even in 20 years doing this, I don't know everything. So I also make mistakes, but I know, for example, in the Ministry of Testing community, when I share these things here, when I share this in the Slack, I know I have a lot of people who don't judge me. The environment is so accepting and knowing also that, yeah, you want to learn, you want to grow, so we give you feedback. So I always encourage everybody, share in the club, in the Slack, in wherever you are. And I also look at these things and say, okay, how can I help? How can I help you grow, see something? Because yes, you might have not been exposed, for example, to the German culture, where you can do a lot of mistakes unknowingly.
I think as well, and to kind of put it into the context of CICD and being able to roll back changes. So the way we try to do things is, which is not how we've done this particular project I'm working on at the moment, but we try to release small and often and be able to roll back easily so that we can make those mistakes. We can see, oh, does that work? No, okay, cool. We can just roll it back and it doesn't have an impact. And it means that I think taking the fear out of deployment is quite a big thing. So this is the first place I've worked where second place I've worked where deploying code isn't a big deal. We deploy every day of the week. We're like taking risks into account, but yeah, because we know that we can just roll it back if we have to. And if it's not so straightforward, we make a decision. But yeah, taking the fear out of deployments, I think, is a big thing.
I think a really good example of, I know it's going to sound strange saying it's a good example, but the CrowdStrike outage, at the time, the world was coming to an end. If you're on a Microsoft operating system, whilst Linux and iOS people just sat there grinning, but that's a different matter, But that was at a moment in time, it was an absolutely catastrophic issue. But even that was recoverable, and actually, from that experience and from that moment, I hope. Ever the optimist, that there are other companies now out there who take a different view on how they deploy things, and having that ability, Ollie, as you said, that you can push, you can roll something out. As long as you have the ability to roll back, that's it. That is key. So, you know, so that's the thing, you know, you do something, it doesn't work for whatever reason, roll it back, you know, go again, you know, life is full of, you know, setbacks. Everyone experiences setbacks in every walk of life. And software development and deployment is no different, you know.
But it also affords, because it's not in many facets of life that you can make a mistake and just undo it.
Like, well, exactly. You know, affords you that opportunity. Exactly. Control V does not exist in life, unfortunately.
yeah, if only.
Exactly. But that's the point, is that we are actually afforded that opportunity. So in a way, that's even more empowering. You know, so that doesn't mean that we just sort of flagrantly throw disregard to quality and just push it out and see what happens. But, you know, in very few circumstances is something never recoverable, whatever that may be. So with that in mind, you know, build something to the best of your ability with quality at the front of your mind, but with that belief that, well, if it does go wrong, we're not, as you said earlier, we're not going to sit there and point fingers and blame culture. We're all going to dive in to the trench, work out how we get ourselves out of it, and then learn from that experience and make sure we don't make the same mistake again. And then that's it, you move on. That is life in general, I think, not just within software, but, you know, that's always the way that I kind of try and approach these things. And I think coming back to that whole continuous quality thing, that is what continuous quality is. It isn't having a perfect system all of the time. It is about having the strength of character to acknowledge when things have not worked and learn from them and make sure that you improve for the next time. And here ends the preaching of Tom.
On that note, I actually have to drop off to go and do a deployment.
Great timing, Ollie. Great timing. Well, thank you for joining us. You're very, very grateful for you sharing today, Ollie. And we'll see you another this week in testing.
Cheers. See you later. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye, Ollie.
Bye-bye.
Now, we have Don Sharp has been waiting ever so patiently with their hand up. So, Don, I would love to get you up on stage. So let's bring you into the conversation and find out how your week has been. Don, welcome. How has your week in testing been? I can see you are muted at the moment. The little mute icon is by your profile, so I'll just give it a moment.
Hello. Apologies, I've not used this interface before, but yeah.
No worries. No worries at all, Don. Thank you for joining us. How is your week in testing?
It's been great. Every week is a great week. So just a couple of thoughts on the topics that you just covered. So I think we talked about theories that we all agree with and principles we all agree with, but I'm always interested in how do we convert those theories into practice. So you know, the idea of mistakes and experiments and changing the dynamic of a team so that you're I don't want to say intentionally doing mistakes, but you're doing, as I think Tom alluded to, you know, you're doing deployments that you can roll back, you can do canary deployments, you can do blue-green deployments, and they're all about where you are doing those intentionally, knowing that you're going to potentially fail. So that's an intent. But I make that distinction between that and the quality error, which is a different thing. Where we talked about, you know, the psychological safety and the, you know, the agreement that mistakes are okay in a team, there's been, you know, occasionally I get clients, I work with a range of businesses, but we've worked with ones where testers are doing a great job, they've got the right tools, good teamwork, they've got everything except for the good teamwork, so there may not be that appetite for quality that everyone has. So you ask, going back to the original question, which is, are testers responsible for quality? I believe they are. And I think there's a leadership role to play. So if you think about the analogy, you know, the old saying in leadership, if you want people to build a boat, what you don't do is tell them, look, you need to cut this, and similar to software, go and cut this wood, this many planks, this or this and this and this, and put it all together and make a boat, you're going to get a very slow, uninspired sort of team. But as a tester in a team, if you take a leadership angle and you get people to, with a boat analogy, have a real yearning for the sea or a craving for the sea, you fill the heads full of stories and adventure, and they get that appetite to understand what that looks like, they will build a boat. They'll build a spectacular boat because you've just given them that vision and that inspiration. If you can get your team to imagine what it would be like having a great product every time, happy clients, smooth running software, really elegantly written, where you can feel pride every day in what you do, that vision alone can really inspire people to then start looking for ways to do a better quality job themselves. So whether it's devs with the unit testing or the BAs with better acceptance criteria, all those 1%ers add up. But you can't beat them over the head with it. You need to inspire them to do it. And I think testers play a unique role in teams as the, in my opinion, the guardians of quality, to play that thought leadership role. You're not leading the people per se, you're not managing them, but you are leading quality. You're setting an example and hopefully bringing people with you with that shared vision. So that's just a thought on that. And the way you can practically do that, you know, if you're doing social contract type exercise, which is what I've used in the past to change cultures of teams, normally you talk about, you know, teamwork and we're all going to be honest, we're all going to do this and that, all the cliches. But on quality, you can talk about quality in that forum, and you can talk about, when it comes to mistakes, you know, the old adage, everyone in the team, you need to make an assumption, everyone in the team is doing the very best they can with the resources they have available, which includes their experience and their skills. And if everyone's making that assumption, you start treating everyone fairly. So you can put that away, and now you've got a safe environment. So now you're safe to fail, assuming you're assuming and everyone else is assuming you're all doing the best you can. If you can combine that with that vision for quality and leadership, you're starting to get a nice recipe for the team pulling together in the same direction for some good quality standards. So there's some practical ways I believe that testers play a pivotal role in taking that responsibility for quality beyond just doing their job well. Just my two cents. Just wanted to share.
Thank you so much for sharing, Dom. So wonderful to get your thoughts and take on this. And also, you know, share some analogies with the community. I think it's important for us to, as a community, to, when we try and understand concepts, to have analogies to guide us. I love that concept you describe around helping kind of set a vision and getting people excited so they can go off and do good things. That's awesome. And you mentioned about, I guess it reminded me of the prime directive of I guess working in an agile environment, or perhaps working with the intention of continuous quality. Like, you know, regardless of what we discover, we understand and believe that everyone did the best job they could. I think that's an important one. And anecdotally, I recently shared that with my wife when we were talking about a challenge she was facing in her workplace. And just before she was running a session with her team, she dropped me a message and said, "Oh, what was that thing you were telling me about the other day?" So I quickly copy and pasted the prime directive from Norm Kurth, pasted it to her, and then like a week or so later, she messages me, just randomly go, "Oh, look what my team had done." And they printed out the prime directive and stuck it up on the wall at her place of work with a little photo of her as well next to it. I was like, that's brilliant. And she works in a very different space from the world of software testing and quality. So that was cool to see that it can apply everywhere. And then it, you know, as you say, Don, it leads to great things once you establish that as a kind of ethos or mindset.
I think it is quite versatile, to be fair. Even if you've burnt your dinner, you can pull that one out and say, "Look, I was trying the best I could with the resources I had available. Get you out of all sorts of pickles."
It doesn't always apply.
But I want to try Club Next cooking. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I was thinking the same, Christine. If I like make something, it's like, "Oh, this is not so good. I'm just gonna pull out the prime directive." That's brilliant, Don. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Don. It's great to hear from you, and thanks for being part of This Week in Testing. We are coming up to the hour, so I should wrap things up for today. So very grateful to hear from you, Don. Loving your thoughts, Christine and Tom. Thank you again for being part of This Week in Testing. And also to Ollie, who I believe he is mid-deployment right now. I hope his deployment is going well, but if it isn't, you know, he's got stuff in place to do a rollback or maybe a roll forward if he's really going for it with his team. So that would be cool indeed. But before we sign off, just a few things to remind you of here at Ministry of Testing. So we have the Ministry of Testing Software Testing Essential Certificate. That is now officially launched. We have a couple of modules that people can jump onto right away. You know, it's been a long time in the making. We are very excited to get it out there. We are working with some incredible people in the community to help us build out this course. You know, I may be biased because I'm part of the Ministry of Testing, but, you know, I think back to before I joined the community and the start of my career back in 2003 and, you know, the formative years of my career as a software tester. And I genuinely wish there was something like this. I really am not just saying that. There's so much insight being shared in the certification. Lots of interviews, lots of short audio messages from the community sharing their experiences, introducing all the essential topics that people need when they get into testing. So, you know, if you have a junior in your team or you are someone listening today that is looking to move into the world of software testing, QA, quality engineering, do consider signing up for the Ministry of Testing Software Testing Essential Certificate. You can find it on ministryoftesting.com. Just look out for the link to certifications in the footer. Definitely worth checking out. It's very, very cool. Okay, well, and other things, if you want to stay connected with the community and what's been happening, join another This Week in Testing. We aim to do this every Friday. It's a good way to gather. We also host lots of other events. Head over to ministryoftesting.com/events, lots of meetups locally across the globe, plus various online events, webinars with our partners, plus other ways for us to connect, such as the Testing Planet. The next one is on continuous quality. Very excited for that one. It's going to be a good discussion, lots of deep topics to get into there. And if you want to stay in touch, I mentioned at the start, but maybe if you join a little bit later, we have MOT Weekly, which is the newsletter that goes out every Monday. If you sign up for a free Ministry of Testing account, you'll get access to that newsletter, plus lots of other good places. If you want another place to hang out, I recommend the club. The club is our forum. You can ask questions in a forum style, or you can help answer people's questions. That's a great way to contribute to the community and give back, share your knowledge and experience, help solidify your learning by writing replies and responses to people's questions. Plus, we have a Slack. There are a number of ways to join the Slack, so do look for the link in the footer and I'll describe how you can get access. There's good conversations happening there, lots of good celebrations as well. Okay, folks, well, we're going to sign off for today. Apologies for a few of the audio issues towards the start and throughout. Hopefully that hasn't impacted things too much. Very grateful for you listening today. Thank you for being part of This Week in Testing, and yeah, big shout out to the folks who join us up on stage for sharing today. Very grateful for that. Enjoy the rest of the day, wherever you may be, and we'll see you at another This Week in Testing. Bye for now.